Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We are jumping straight into the deep end today.
We really are.
Because frankly, the timeline has just shifted under our feet.
Yeah.
It's February 2026.
Right.
And we are officially 1 year into what people are calling agentic coding. And if you're listening to this, I mean, you probably feel it.
Oh, yeah.
We aren't just writing code anymore.
Yeah.
We're drowning in it.
It's a flood. I mean, the volume of output has just exploded. But the feeling on the ground isn't just, wow, look how productive we are.
No, not at all. It's anxiety.
It's pure anxiety.
That is exactly what I wanted to dig into. We have a stack of sources today, and one of them is this really heavy-hitting article that references work by Zhang-Peng Hao and Ao Lai.
Right.
And it centers on a question that I think keeps every engineering manager up at night right now.
I know the one.
If an AI agent writes the code, but you, the human, never actually typed a single character, who is responsible when it breaks?
That is the core tension.
Yeah.
It really is. We've somehow separated authorship from responsibility.
And we haven't figured out how to put them back together.
Not yet. We're in this like awkward teenage phase of the technology. The tools are powerful enough to build entire apps.
But they're dumb enough to introduce these subtle catastrophic bug.
Exactly.
So our sources, they actually introduce a metric for this. They call it time to accountability.
Which is such a great term.
It is. And full disclosure, they mentioned it comes from that How and Low paper. And they even joke about quoting It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
I saw that.
Saying, you know, once a term is out there, it's fair game. So we're going to use it.
And it's a perfect term. Time to accountability. It sounds like a generic corporate KPI. But when you unpack it, it explains why everyone is so tired.
What is it then?
It's the delta. It's the gap between the moment the code is generated and the moment you can actually trust it.
Okay, so help us define it. How has this shifted from the old way of coding, I don't know, say back in the prehistoric days of 2024?
Okay, think about the old way. You were the engineer. You were sitting at the keyboard. You typed const user. And as you were typing, you were thinking. You are evaluating these trade-offs in real time.
Like, should this be an array or a set? Is this variable name clear?
All of that. The accountability was happening during the creation process.
You were the filter. The code didn't exist until you decided it should.
Exactly. You were the filter. So when you finished, your time to accountability, the time it took to say, I trust this, was basically zero.
Because you just wrote it. You knew why it existed. You were the intent.
You were the intent. But now, with agentic coding,
I just prompt the agent, build me a user settings form with 3 tabs and a delete account danger zone.
And 3 seconds later, you have 400 lines of code.
And I wasn't there for any of it.
Precisely. You were absent. The agent made 1,000 micro decisions, variable names, structural choices, library imports, CSS specificity.
And I witnessed none of them.
So now the accountability process happens entirely after the code is written. You have to reverse engineer the logic of a machine to figure out if it's safe to ship.
And we all know reading code is so much harder than writing it.
Orders of magnitude harder, especially when you didn't write it. That's why time to accountability has just skyrocketed.
We're shipping more code, technically.
But we're spending hours, just hours, staring at diffs, trying to regain the confidence we used to have by default. It's the reviewer's dilemma.
The code looks right, but you don't know if it's right.
You just don't know.
Which brings us to the solution proposed in this deep dive. And I have to admit, when I first saw the headline, I was pretty skeptical.
I get it.
They argue the solution isn't better LLMs or better prompting or even fine-tuning. It's design systems.
I know. It sounds like bringing a style guide to a gunfight.
Right. I feel like half our listeners just pictured a Figma file with some brand colors.
Or the brand police designer yelling at them for using the wrong font weight.
Exactly. How does a UI kit solve a fundamental AI architecture problem?
Well, if you view a design system as just a sticker sheet, you're right. It solves nothing.
But that's not what they mean.
No. Our sources argue for a complete redefinition for 2026. A design system isn't a library of assets. It's a set of decisions that have already been made and litigated.
Litigated. That's a very specific word. It implies a courtroom.
It implies conflict. It implies resolution. Think about a simple component, like a standard submit button.
Okay.
To a junior dev or to an AI, it's just a rectangle with the word submit in it. Maybe it turns blue when you hover.
Sure.
But in a mature product, that button is what the source calls a sealed box.
A sealed box. What's inside the box?
Hundreds of hours of human debate, designers, engineers, accessibility experts, they've fought over the padding.
Right.
They've argued about the focus ring for keyboard navigation. They've sweated over the ARIA labels for screen readers.
All the edge cases. Like, what happens when the label is translated into German and gets three times longer?
Every single one. So the button isn't just code. It's a crystallized opinion.
It's a trusted contract.
It's a trusted contract. And here's the kicker. An AI, by its very nature, is probabilistic. It works on averages.
It can make a button.
It can generate code that renders a blue rectangle, sure, but it cannot probabilistically generate your button.
Because it doesn't know the history of the litigation.
It wasn't in the room. It doesn't know why you chose 16 pixels of padding instead of 12.
It has no context for those decisions.
None. If you let an AI build from scratch, it's just guessing based on the average of the entire internet. But if you hand it a design system, you are handing it a box of pre-approved, sealed decisions.
Okay, so let's get into the mechanism. The source breaks this down into intent and enforcement. How do those two work together?
Right, so the intent is the documentation, the rules. We use this button for primary actions.
The why.
The why, exactly. The enforcement is the code, the actual component library with all the guardrails.
And when you combine them,
you create a deterministic constraint.
Deterministic, meaning same input, same output, every single time.
Every time, and that is the key. If I see the agent use the primary button component in a code review, my time to accountability drops instantly.
You don't have to check the CSS.
I don't have to check the padding or the accessibility attributes, none of it. I trusted that sealed box 2 years ago.
So you only have to review where the agent put the button, not how the button was built.
You nailed it. You're reviewing strategy, not implementation.
I want to push on this, though, because this touches on a sort of philosophical conflict. The source highlights
the tension.
The tension between AI being probabilistic and design systems being deterministic. I mean, can't we just prompt the AI better? Say, you are a senior front-end engineer, use accessible buttons.
You can try, but you're basically fighting the entropy of the model. An AI is a prediction machine. It guesses the next token based on the internet.
And the internet is full of bad code.
Full of inaccessible buttons and inconsistent designs. The AI is like chaotic good at best.
It's a jazz musician. It wants to improvise.
That's a great way to put it. And a design system is the sheet music, or maybe it's more like a constrainer. Without the system, the AI follows the path of least resistance. It'll hard code a hex value for a color, say #0055FF.
But our brand blue is #0056FF.
The AI doesn't care about that tiny difference, but your brand team definitely does. It'll write manual CSS to center a div because it saw that on Stack Overflow in 2018.
Ignoring the Flexbox utility classes you actually use.
So it reinvents the wheel, but the wheel is slightly oval every single time.
And that creates drift. Every time the agent generates code without a system, the product drifts further from consistency.
Exactly. So the strategy is to balance the two. You let the agent be probabilistic about the composition.
And eat a form, so I'll stack these inputs.
Right. But you force it to be deterministic about the atoms. You must use the input component. You must use the button component.
You're grounding the AI. You're telling it, be creative with the arrangement, but do not invent the bricks.
Correct. You are removing the variable of implementation details from the AI's context window. You're narrowing the surface area where it can screw up.
Now, I can hear a segment of our audience, probably the back-end engineers or the QA folks, screaming at their devices right now.
Oh, I know what's coming.
They're saying, design systems are nice, but we have tests. I don't need a UI kit for accountability. If the unit tests pass, the code is valid.
Ah, the tests are the answer, defense. It's a classic rebuttal. But our source takes a sledgehammer to this idea, and I think they're right to do so.
Okay, so why is that a fallacy? If I have 100% test coverage, why isn't that enough?
Two massive reasons. First, there's the trap of circular logic.
Circular logic.
In this new workflow, who writes the tests?
Well, usually.
Right.
The agent writes the test. I tell my code editor, write this feature and write the test for it.
Right. You say, write a function to calculate tax and write a test for it. If that test fails, what does the agent do?
It rewrites the code.
Mm-hmm.
Or, it rewrites the test to match the code.
It marks its own homework. You get a green check mark, but you have zero assurance that the logic is actually sound.
You've just proved the agent is consistent with its own hallucination.
Exactly. There's no external source of truth. It's just a closed loop of potential error.
That's a terrifying thought. It's a tautology engine.
Uh-huh.
Okay, what's the second reason?
The limits of what testing can even catch in a UI context. You can write a test that checks expect button.to-have-text submit.
Sure. Or if an ARIA label exists.
You can test for existence. But can you write a unit test for, does this feel janky?
Jank is hard to quantify, yeah.
Can you test if the hover state transition feels too slow? Can you test if the spacing looks right, if it feels like your brand? You can't.
Those are qualitative things.
They're qualitative. And a design system solves this by moving those quality checks upstream. You don't test if the button feels right every time because the system guarantees the atom is perfect.
You stop testing the bricks and start testing the wall.
That's it. It's strictly about efficiency. You remove this massive chunk of the testing burden because the components are pre-verified.
Which brings us right back to time to accountability.
If I know the bricks are solid, I spend less time inspecting the wall. If I have to inspect the molecular structure of every single brick, I'll never ship anything.
Okay, let's pivot to the future-looking part of this. The source lays out the three futures of AI and UI. And this part really struck me.
Yeah, it's moving so fast. And what's fascinating is that the design system is the linchpin for all three of these scenarios.
But for different reasons.
For totally different reasons.
So let's walk through them. Future number one, agents building your product. This is basically where we are today, right?
Yeah.
Copilot, cursor, that sort of thing.
Yes. This is the assistant model. You're the pilot. The AI is the copilot.
And as we've said, without a system, the AI hallucinates styles.
Right. But there's a nuance here about context windows that we haven't touched on yet.
Explain that.
LLMs have a limited memory, a context window. Even the big models, their attention degrades over long contexts. So if you ask it to build a complex dashboard, it can't remember every CSS class you wrote 5 months ago in a different file, but a design system acts as crystallized context. It's a shorthand.
A shorthand.
Instead of the AI needing to ingest like the 50 lines of CSS that make up a card and the 20 lines of logic for its header.
It just needs to know card and header.
Exactly. It compresses the information. It makes the prompt smaller and the output way more accurate.
So it makes the agent more efficient. It frees up the context window for the actual business logic.
Yes, the idea.
Okay, future number two. This is where it gets a little trippy. Your product is an agent.
This is the big shift we're seeing right now. We're moving from putting a chatbot inside an app to putting the app inside the chatbot.
Generative UI.
Generative UI.
Okay, give me an example.
Imagine a banking app. Instead of clicking through menus, you just text the app. Show me my spending on coffee last month.
And instead of just text back, it should show me a chart.
Exactly. But how does it render that chart? If the AI tries to write raw HTML and CSS on the fly to draw a bar chart, it will be ugly.
And probably inaccessible.
And it won't look like your bank. It will look like AI slop.
Which breaks the trust. I don't want my bank statement to look like some weird wireframe.
No one does. So the solution is using the agent as a tool user. The agent shouldn't generate the pixels. It should determine intent.
User wants a chart.
And then it calls a function, render spending chart data. That function pulls from, you guessed it.
The design system.
The design system. The agent decides what to show, but the system decides how it looks. It's the only way to maintain brand integrity in a generative interface.
So you're giving the AI a Lego kit. Build what the user asked for, but only use these pieces.
That's a perfect analogy. It keeps the UI deterministic, even when the conversation is probabilistic.
Then we have future number three, agents using your website. This one feels a bit sci-fi, but the source mentions things like WebMCP.
It's closer than you think. Think about the history of APIs. 10 years ago, everyone had an open API. Then companies realized, wait, if people use our API, they don't see our ads.
So they locked them all down. Walled gardens.
Right. But now personal AI agents are coming online.
So in the near future, I might just tell my phone, go buy me those sneakers I liked.
And your agent will navigate to the Nike website. It won't be a human clicking. It will be a bot reading the code.
So the website has to be machine readable.
Precisely. If your site is a mess of random divs and spaghetti code, the agent will get lost. It won't know which button is checkout and which is sign up.
It's like trying to navigate a city where the street signs are written in invisible ink.
But if you use a design system, you have a standardized schema. Your primary button is always a primary button. Your text input is always an input.
The design system becomes the API for the front end.
It provides the contracts that allow external agents to interact with your product reliably.
So in this future, the design system isn't just for the human user, it's for the robot user.
It's infrastructure. If you want your product to be discoverable and usable by the AI economy, You need that deterministic layer. Otherwise, you're invisible.
It really seems like in all three scenarios, the design system is the anchor.
It's the only constant.
It stops us from sliding into total entropy.
Whether it's your devs using AI, your app acting as an AI, or external AIs using your app, the system guarantees consistency.
The source wraps this all up with this concept of abstraction layers, which I think really brings it all home.
Yeah.
They argue that AI isn't magic. It's just a speed boost for abstraction.
And if you look at computer science history, it's all just layers of abstraction.
Right.
We don't write machine code. We write C. Then we wrap that in JavaScript. Then we wrap that in React.
We do it to abstract away the repetitive decisions so we can move faster.
And AI is just the engine that generates those abstractions faster than ever.
But here's the warning, right?
Here's the warning. You cannot build a skyscraper on quicksand. If the layer underneath the AI, the design system, is weak or non-existent, the AI is just amplifying the chaos.
You aren't being productive. You are just generating technical debt at the speed of light.
You're scaling your bugs. You're scaling your lack of accountability.
And if you don't have a system, you're forced to check every single brick the robot lays.
And eventually, you will mail one, and then another. And suddenly, your time to accountability bankrupts your team. You spend all your time fixing AI mistakes instead of building new value.
That's a really sobering thought.
Mm-hmm.
We're all so obsessed with speed. We see these demos and think, I can build an app in an hour.
You can build a demo in an hour. You cannot build a maintainable, accountable product in an hour without a foundation.
There's a huge difference between code that runs and software that lasts.
A massive difference.
So the call to action here is pretty clear. If you don't have a design system, you need one yesterday. And if you do, it needs to be more than just a Figma file.
It has to be code. It needs to be the law. And you need to make sure your agents, whether they're Copilot or your own custom bots, are strictly bound to it.
It's not a nice, as we wrap up, I want to leave the listeners with a thought about that relationship between speed and trust. We tend to view them as opposites. You know, you either go fast and break things or you go slow and be safe.
But in this new world, I think they're completely dependent on each other.
Exactly. Can you truly be productive if you don't trust the foundation your speed is built on?
No.
If you have to hesitate before every deployment because you aren't sure what the black box wrote, are you actually fast?
Speed without trust is just panic.
Speed without trust is just panic.
Uh-huh.
I love that. We'll leave it there. Thanks for diving in with us.
See you next time.